Mike Lewis. This Captain Jack music, producer Anderson, I'm not sure how I feel about it. At first it was funny, and then now I almost feel like it creates an expectation that I could not possibly meet.
You're Captain Jack.
It creates a vibe. question of the hour, producer Anderson, is being woke still cool? 98973, state roofing text line. Is being woke still cool? But before we get to that, producer Anderson, ask me how I'm doing.
How are you doing, Jack?
I'm not well. Thank you for asking. I had the worst news of all time today. The worst political news that I think I could have heard today, which is that Joe Biden picked Kamala Harris. Everybody knows about it now.
Yeah.
But this, to me, we're going to get into this in the 8 o'clock hour.
What are your
thoughts
on that?
It's just so disappointing because I wanted some exciting,
I wanted some
cutthroat politics. I wanted Bernie Sanders versus President Trump. I wanted that so badly.
That would have been
I wanted that more than I want a RoboCop reboot. I wanted it so badly. And now I'm not going to get it. Now I'm going to get sleepy Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, who's boring. And this is just going to be a boring 2020 presidential race. It's just going to be so boring. And I don't, as someone who works in media, I don't know how to reconcile that, where I wanted a capitalist hero like Donald Trump and a socialist like Bernie Sanders. I wanted them to go toe-to-toe so the American people could really make a choice. And now they got to make a choice with a guy who's falling asleep every 7.5 minutes. And it's just going to be so boring. But moving on, producer Anderson, we got back to the question, is being woke still cool? 98973. And the reason that I ask this is because I was perusing all the stories about what's going on with Carmen Best. I was going around reading the comment section, as I'm known to do, underneath every story I could find about Carmen Best. And what I found was there's a tremendous amount of people who consider themselves to be quote-unquote woke. They consider themselves to be aware of the issues that are going on. And as a result, they were saying that it was a good thing that, Chief Best decided to resign. There was kind of a little celebration on the internet saying, wow, isn't this so great that, Chief Best decided to leave? And when I think about it, when I look at that, when people who consider themselves to be of that political mindset, that they're woke about it, that they're I don't know if you know this, producer Anderson, but woke actually has a definition.
Yeah, I was going to ask. So we got a few texts asking what woke means. So do you want to define it for us?
Yeah, woke refers. I found this on the internet. You can find anything on the internet.
Oh yeah.
Woke refers to a perceived awareness of issues concerning social justice and racial justice. It derives from the African American vernacular English expression "stay woke," whose grammatical aspect refers to a continuing awareness of these issues. I started using the phrase woke when I was in my 20s because I was really, really cool when I was in my 20s.
Were you woke?
I was woke. I was on disability. I was horrifically addicted to drugs, and I was really cool. Everybody liked me. I played in a lot of bands. I didn't have a job, and everybody thought that I was really, really cool. And the thing that ends up happening, I think, when you are in that kind of vein is that you don't realize necessarily in the short term the consequences of your actions. When you're, you know, a drug addict like how I was, you don't realize the short-term consequences of your actions. Now at 32, upon reflection, you know, I've been free and clear of that for some time. Upon reflection, I can realize what did my choices in being woke and being cool, what did those things cost me, right? They cost me 2 teeth, 50 pounds, my self-esteem, and 10 years of my life. But I can look back at that and say, okay, now I know what that cost me. But for the people who are out there now who are saying, well, I'm super woke and I'm super cool, are they going to realize what that costs at a societal level, at a community level? Are they going to be able to reflect and say, in 10 years from now, say, wow, that was a bad decision. We probably shouldn't have done that. We probably shouldn't have forced Chief Best to resign because now we're dealing with the fallout from that. So again, the question is woke still cool? Is it still cool to be that guy who's like, oh yeah, dude, by any means necessary, whatever it takes, we're going to get the job done. 98973 State Roofing.
Was it ever
cool? Let's get to the big three.
Is my question.
Was it ever cool to begin with? Let's get to the big three.
Here's the top three things we need to discuss. Number one.
So, of course, everybody's talking about it. Chief Best resigned. The first black woman ever to be named Seattle police chief has officially called it quits. This is Cairo Radio's Hannah Scott.
It is the difficult times that we see the true metal of a person.
And Mayor Durkin says she has had the opportunity to see that with Chief Carmen Best as she spoke following Best's announcement that she'd be retiring from the SPD after nearly 30 years.
When you know it's time to go, you know it's time to go.
Best insisting the decision was not about what she sees as retaliatory pay cuts by the city council.
It really is about the overarching lack of respect for the officers.
Durkin says she asked the chief to stay.
Carmen Best has been one of those leaders who has shown up and shown what she is made of.
But understood when she refused.
So about 30 minutes after the news dropped, former King County executive Ron Sims on Twitter decried the city council's treatment of Best. He said, quote, "As a black man, I found the Seattle City Council's treatment of Chief Best to be incredibly offensive. They'll say that they are liberals. It did not give them license to publicly humiliate the first African-American woman to be chief of police in Seattle's history." However, on the other side of the argument, Nikita Oliver, who's an activist, lawyer, and former Seattle mayoral candidate, responded to Sims via Twitter, and this is her hot take. She says, Best chose to be chief of an institution that has perpetuated racist policies and practices and perpetuated much harm on our communities, not to mention the violent policing of the recent protests. She could have chose to whistleblow, but she protected the status quo. She chose, she says, and to Nikita Oliver, I say not cool. That's not cool. This is what I'm going with this kind of the question of the hour. Is being woke still cool? To have that kind of response, Nikita Oliver's response, to say, listen, I'm woke enough. She's part of a racist system. She chose to be there, and now she's choosing to leave. That's not cool. That's not cool. If I had it my way, Chief Best would still be in her position doing the job that she was doing, which was trying to improve the Seattle Police Department. She had ideas. She was trying to get something done. She was trying to get momentum built up. And instead, what we have is a bunch of woke people saying that, well, you're part of that institution, ipso facto, you're part of the problem, and you need to go. Not cool. Simply not cool. Let's go to number two.
Number two.
So the other thing that I wanted to touch on is that the community has had mixed reaction to the Seattle Police Department budget cuts. There's an article out where a bunch of people out on the street were basically talked to about this. And for Rachel Christensen, who attended the pro-police rally at City Hall this weekend, one major worry is that the officer layoffs are being undertaken in the name of politics and not public interest. She said, I'd like to see them work with Chief Carmen Best. Of course, this is before she resigned. That's really a big concern of mine, is that they seem to just have sidelined her, Christensen said before the news broke that Best was now retiring in September. Others are encouraged by the positions and programs being eliminated. Derek Belgrade with the Chief Seattle Club said it's time to give up on the navigation team for dealing with homeless camps. He said a better idea is to invest in nonprofits that practice harm reduction. Says if the social workers on the ground that are mission-driven had the tools that were given to the NAV team, we'd see a far bigger dent in this problem. Again, so this is what I mean by, is this cool? Is anybody okay with this in the pursuit of trying to reach this kind of policy? Are you cool with violating that aspect of that process? Chief Best probably should have kept her job, Producer Anderson, I'm assuming for another, what, 10 years?
Oh, yeah.
5, 10 years?
There was a lot of support for her, and at least in the inside the police department, which is, I think, the first thing you should look for. You want your police officers to be trusting their leader, and that was definitely something that was perpetuated even through these tough times in relationship between the SPD and their community. But they were always standing by Carmen Best, so this is going to be a big loss.
So Mayor Durkin said on Tuesday that she doesn't plan to begin a search for a new permanent police chief in 2020, citing the uncertainty surrounding what the department might look like in the future. She says they don't know what job they'd be applying for. She said if we start a search right now, I doubt we could attract the candidates Seattle deserves. Not cool. Not cool, woke kids. All the people on the city council who consider themselves to be so aware of what's going on, so aware to social injustice or racial injustice, now you've created a position where we can't even get someone into the system. You've created that precedent where now we can't even get anybody in. who's going to want to take that job if at a moment's notice their salary can be reduced or they can be pressured to resign? And so this is where this is my point with all of this, Producer Anderson, is that it is so frustrating for me to see people in the pursuit of their utopia, in the pursuit of the world that they envision,
right,
that they're stepping on all these people whose lives are being ruined. I mean, Carmen Best was a police officer for 28 years, and now her legacy will be that she was forced out of a position because she could no longer do the job. And that's not cool. It's not cool, woke kids. Best also went on to say that she said, I can honestly say I have no regrets. That's what she said during today's press conference. She said there were things I would change, but being a Seattle police officer and the opportunity to be a police chief was the dream of a lifetime. I will continue to do all I can over the next 3 weeks to set this department up for a smooth transition. I will always love being a SPD officer. To the men and women of SPD, you will always have my respect. That is so sweet. That is so sweet. I want her to keep her job.
Yeah. Yeah. Even like in such a interesting and I would assume a pretty frustrating situation for her, she just shows nothing but class in this exit. So it's just another reason why it's going to be a tough loss.
Additionally, you know, I was looking at the crime records. We've been going over these, Producer Anderson, now for about a week and a half. This is from last year. Seattle's total reported crime numbers rose at about the same rate as its population did last year, according to data from the city. In 2018, the city had the second highest number of reported crimes in a year since they started recording it by neighborhood in 2008. Again, we've made this distinction between personal and property crimes, but there were 43,312. So what I say to the city council, again, is not cool. This is not something to be proud of, and this is not the time to use your position as an opportunity to show people how woke you are, to show people, to pander to your base. Pandering to a political base should not be policy in any way, shape, or form. And the people who are for this, as I saw many of them on the internet, many people commenting, oh yeah, this is great, this is so great. What will the ramifications be for your coolness, being so woke? What are the ramifications going to be in 6 months, in 2 years? Right, see, that's the thing, is that they haven't thought about it. They haven't fully thought this through. And I think that that's what happens when you make impulsive decisions like this to get the end result that you want. Let's move on to number three.
Number three.
So a U.S. judge has decided last week that Grants Pass, Oregon, violated its homeless residents' Eighth Amendment rights by excluding them from parks without due process and citing them for sleeping outside. So the ruling builds on the landmark 2018 Martin v. City of Boise case that said cities cannot make it illegal for people to sleep or rest outside without providing sufficient indoor alternatives. The U.S. Supreme Court last year refused to hear the Martin case, forcing cities to rethink how their policies and law enforcement officials handle growing populations of people without housing. So why is this a big deal? Because this is the kind of thing I think you can expect to see in Seattle, where because people are so woke and because they are so aware of what's going on, that they are willing to let people sleep outside in parks and they are willing to allow people to sleep under overpasses, because we can't violate that person's Eighth Amendment rights. We have to let them sleep in their own filth and garbage, because that's the law now, because we're so woke about it. And I'm actually the guy who says, no, you know what, if we're going to have funding, that funding should probably go towards services for these people. A lot of these people need intensive care. Likely many of them would need long-term care. And I'm kind of a softy for those kinds of things. Kids and homeless people, I think to myself, that's where we should be dumping the majority of society's resources. But instead, I guess, the judge decides that you can't find people anymore, which I agree with. That's like, trying to get blood from a stone. But this idea that now you have to allow people to sleep outside. Now, you can't bug them. Can't bug them whatsoever. That's their home. Too woke. Not cool. That's the premise I'm trying to get across here, Producer Anderson, is that you can get to a point where your preferences, your awareness, right, of society gets in the way of common sense policy. It gets in the way of a society which wants to move forward. And I wonder if in the future we'll look back on this time period and call it the great relearning, where we fired people because they disagreed with us, and we forced people to resign because they weren't fitting our particular political spectrum, and we allowed people to sleep out on the streets because we didn't want to violate their Eighth Amendment rights, even though by almost every metric, these are people who need an intense amount of help. What's the text line saying, Producer Anderson? What's going on back
yeah,
there?
Yeah, we actually got a lot of mixed reactions based on the Carmen Best leaving our presence here in Seattle. A lot of people kind of saying same things you are, like, what's going on? Like, woke people kind of asking for, like, a change, but then you're driving out with the one woman of color that we've had as our police chief, which kind of is pretty backwards in my book. As well as her kind of openness to having a dialogue or conversation with Seattle City Council. And as Chris Martin said at the top of the hour with the news, doesn't look like they ever really reciprocated that. So it seems like everything kind of was in place where dialogue should have happened, and it could have happened. But I guess that wasn't going to happen from the side of the Seattle City Council. And then there's a few people that are saying that there are some better candidates out there, that maybe her handling of the protests was not very good, and the rising of crime, a couple points to the rising of crime the last couple of years. But as you mentioned, it rose along with the population growth. So
that is
a little bit of a skewed data point, but I can kind of see what they're thinking about there.
I would say that if there were better candidates out there, then a better way to go about it would be to hash it out like that, as opposed to putting Carmen Best in the position where she cannot do her job without
it's asking her to do something that she didn't want to do, and that's just lay off a bunch of the new police officers that had just came onto the force. And it wasn't just the budget cuts, it wasn't her salary, it was kind of just the lack of support in general from the city, and most of all, a lot of its community as well, people protesting, and didn't seem like she was getting the support she needed.
Right, and by the way, I'd like to point out that apparently that class was going to be the most diverse class ever to ascend to the rank of an SPD officer. Apparently that was going to be the greatest mixture of men, women,
talk
minorities, so on and so forth. So yeah, talk about woke. So thanks for that, City Council. Going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about there was a religious gathering, and everyone seems to be up in arms about it. Over at the former CHOP area. You're listening to Cairo Nights. Going to take a quick break. Be right back after this. Welcome back to Cairo Nights. I'm Jack Stein, filling in for Mr. Mike Lewis. I was greeted this morning by a video of a group of people. I thought there was a concert or something going on up in Seattle. But what I saw was I clicked on the sound, and it turned out it was like it was Christian music. It was a kind of Christian rock music. And I thought, well, what's going on? This must be from a couple months ago, right? This must be from, you know, before COVID-19. And then as it turns out, it was yesterday. Yesterday, hundreds of Christians in Seattle turned out in the area formerly dubbed Capitol Hill Organized Protest, or CHOP, and they were confronted by violent protesters who flashed knives, shouted obscenities, and I guess a lot of people were saying, Hail Satan. So you have a group of Christian people who show up for this music band that was playing. I believe we talked about they also played on Sunday as well, but I had no idea that this amount of people, hundreds of people, showed up to see these guys play. Worshippers sang gospel music, prayed, and some were even baptized. I guess it's a group called Hold the Line Ministries. The massive service at Cal Anderson Park was held amid coronavirus restrictions on large gatherings, and most people in the crowd were not wearing facial coverings or maintaining the appropriate social distance. That's from King. I saw that, and I was happy that people were able to express their faith, and happy that people were able to go out and commune and worship with their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it also made me fairly uncomfortable to see that amount of people in such close proximity without masks. Then they're singing and dancing. They got their hands up in the air and all these other things. And I thought to myself, yeah, I'm of two minds about this. That I sincerely want people to be able to go and practice their faith. And I want people to commune in their faith and all that other fun stuff. But I don't want people to be irresponsible at the same time. And as a guy who's a mask guy and a guy who's a social distancing guy, but not necessarily saying that government should come in and order you to do that, I'm in this weird middle ground, Producer Anderson, where I think to myself, I want that to happen, but not the way that they're doing it.
Right.
If that,
right.
That makes sense.
Allow them to worship and do what they want to do religiously, but maybe a little safer.
But they seem so happy,
right,
and they seem so joyous, and they seem so free. You know, it's one of the more beautiful things about faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was raised in a really, really strict Catholic, not Catholic, Christian setting. I was raised in a very, very kind of weird revivalist Christian setting. I'm not religious now by any stretch of the imagination, but I have a deep appreciation for it. And you can see how much these people, if you go and you watch the videos, of which there are many currently posted online, you can see just the joy that these young children are having and the parents are. It's like they've been craving it for quite some time.
Right.
They've really missed this kind of community.
Yep, togetherness. I know what you mean.
Right. And so the other thing that I saw, though, in this, and this is the thing that really kind of weirded me out even more, is there was a significant amount of people there, as the article writes about. They were there. They're considered to be violent protesters. They had knives. They shouted obscenities at local black pastors, and they kept saying, "Hail Satan." And I thought, well, how many of them were there? So I go and I look at more photos. I look at more video. Quite a few. Quite a few people decided that they were going to go up to this group of people practicing their faith, and they were going to be jerks. They were going to be dirtbags. And I don't understand how I'm this kind of guy where I think to myself, someone wants to go practice their religion, doesn't make any difference to me. Makes no difference whatsoever.
Right.
But there are people who are kind of practicing this like sincere Christian hate that if it were geared towards any other religion, you would say, well, that's deeply anti-Semitic, right? Or that's deeply Islamophobic or whatever. But because it's Christianity, they feel almost as if they have a pass to do it, or they feel as if it's socially acceptable, to the point where they film themselves yelling at these children or yelling at these families, saying the worst things that you could possibly say to another human being. And there's some kind of sick pleasure that they derive from it. So for me, it's just as an outsider, someone who appreciates religion and appreciates what it offers people, and I also have a tremendous amount of respect for people that do are that faith bound, right? That's their own personal journey of improvement. When I see people going up to them, "Hey man, let me tell you my thoughts about religion," I go, "Dude, leave them alone." Knives.
Religion's
and the
different for every
Satan.
Person. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah, and it should be, right? It's a very individual and personal and private thing. And I've been trying to think, like, what sparks it in somebody's mind that you see a group of families, there's a guy with weird hair and he's playing guitar and people are banging on the drums and people are dancing and they are they're holding up their hands. What prompts a fully grown man to go up to those people and start yelling "Hail Satan" like he's 5 years old? To me, I can't empathize with whatever motivates that individual. What's the text line got to say?
Yeah,
about this,
no, there's a couple different things going on here. This is a tough one for me because I'm just trying to logistically compare like different groups of people in different settings and what is safe and what's not. I'm thinking, I don't know this full story. I'm thinking that a lot of these protesters protesting the religious community that was worshiping. They were probably a little bit more concerned about the lack of mask wearing. If that's the case, then I still like that's still a little overbearing, but it's a little more, I guess, reasonable in terms of like what your reasoning is for protesting that whole movement. But one texter from 253 says kind of similarly with the whole mask situation. And gathering in groups and all that kind of stuff. Do you feel like government shouldn't tell you to do it? Or do you feel like government shouldn't have to tell you to do it? I think that's a really good point to kind of bring up. And like, should they be able to step in, or should we all just be people kind of doing this on our own? And then like, since that's not the case, government's like, okay, I guess we have to do this sort of thing. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that one, Jack.
Kind of both. I mean, they shouldn't have to, right? People should just kind of naturally ascend to that kind of conclusion. You would say, well, the virus is transmitted through spittle and through spit. And when we talk, especially Jack Stein, you spit a lot and it's really gross. And if I get sick, you might get it on somebody else. And being able to trust in yourself and your neighbor is an important aspect of that. But then it puts you in a difficult decision where now you have to maybe ostracize people in your life who don't want to wear a mask, and maybe they're really obnoxious about it, and maybe they just absolutely refuse. Then you have to say, well, what's the best decision for me? But the reason that I don't like government telling people that they have to do it is that I don't like the idea of people getting used to that kind of intrusion into their life.
Right.
That you have to wear this particular article of clothing, you have to wear this protective gear, whatever it might be. And this isn't coming from a place of paranoid, you know, deep state governmentality. This is just coming from a place of kind of a moral a center, where when you begin to just kind of allow that to happen in your life, when people say, well, you have to wear this article of clothing, it seems fairly innocuous, it seems fairly trivial, and it just might well be. But there's something a little, it's a bridge too far for me. I don't like to get to that point with those kinds of things.
Yeah, like having just government just kind of control that much of our lives and stuff like that.
It is such an overreach. And it's, you know, again, that if for the people who are out there like, well, everybody should be wearing masks, I agree with you. I totally agree with you. And I would encourage everybody to do it. If you're a non-mask wearer, I would encourage you to do it. I would have actually gone to this Christian celebration that happened at Cal Anderson Park, and I would have been handing out masks.
Yeah.
I would have been praising
exactly
Jesus.
Exactly what I was
going to
bring
out
up.
Masks.
Yeah. Like, we can basically get all these people back masked up so we don't have to be protesting that kind of stuff. Because I'm all for community gathering and having that sort of feeling. A lot of texters are saying the same thing, but in terms of just kind of in the middle of a pandemic, we're really trying to just get everything we can to get us back to normal. Stuff like that probably isn't going to help. So that's just kind of the narrative that's going along with that.
You're listening to Cairo Nights. Going to take a really quick break. When we come back, we have some excellent, excellent news about free fridges. Sounds weird, I know, but it's really, really quite good news. Stick around. We're going to take a quick break. Be right back after this. Good times. Actually, you know what's some bad times, Producer Anderson? You were asking me why I don't like mandatory masks, why I don't like this idea.
Yeah.
Face coverings are now mandatory in the Republic of Ireland, and people who violate the law get a fine of £2,500. That creates that bad times. That creates so much tension in a society, Producer Anderson. That creates so much friction in a society. That it's not good. It's not neighborly.
Unless the society is wearing masks, like everyone, I guess. But like, that, where is that the case?
Exactly. Yeah. And if that were to happen in the States, where you have all these freedom-loving Americans,
oh boy.
Oh man, it'd be bad news. Anyway, on to the good news.
We like good news.
This is a story that I found. Did you know that there is such a thing, Producer Anderson, as a street fridge of free food? Which can help Americans survive. Yeah, so it helps Americans survive the COVID pandemic. The fridge helps feed people in the middle of a pandemic and mass unemployment in a year where as many as 54 million Americans could need food aid. There are no strings attached, no questions asked. This is from Marianne Pita. She's the woman who kind of set this up. She says, basically, there's a fridge. It's in a neighborhood. You walk up, you get your goods, you leave. That's it. No questions asked.
You know, I've seen stuff like this for books, but I haven't seen it for a fridge. That's cool.
So there are 15 community fridges that have been set up in, this is in New York, by the way, the New York boroughs and New Jersey and Los Angeles and Oakland. And they have a network of community fridges up and running. They also have them in Houston, Minneapolis, San Francisco, and Miami. And even though it sounds a little gross, it's not what you think it is. It's not like an open fridge. It looks more like kind of like a soda fridge.
Oh, okay.
You slide it open.
Gotcha.
And you could take your food and then you take off.
So it's like one of those, and the reason, not vending machines, like, I guess soda fridge is the way to put it, but like where you see next to a vending machine is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's what you could look right into it. You see everything that's available to you.
Okay, that makes sense.
And you might say, well, how do we make sure that people aren't just taking everything and running away with it? I guess it's basically like a credit system kind of like the candy bowl during Halloween. Huh?
Is it like one of those where you have to like donate something and then take one out?
No. It's like the good faith system where it's like that candy bowl during Halloween where you walk up and it's a big old sign that says take one one. But really you dump the whole bowl in your bag. Like,
SCC would have a great idea about that.
The reason that this is good news is that it talks about community and what community can do for each other when government can't. And in this instance, I say good times because it shows that people, they set up these fridges, they're out in the open. A lot of people, I was reading last week, the number was something like 30 million Americans might have difficulty with food. You have a significant amount of Americans that are going to be facing eviction notices by September. So just this idea that people can, on their own volition, on their own kind of momentum, go out and do something like this, praiseworthy. Doesn't make any difference to me what the politics are. Doesn't make any difference to me that the people that started this, if they're kooky leftists or they're right-wing nut jobs, doesn't make any difference
to
me whatsoever.
Good news is good news, right?
They see a problem and they attack it. They want to fix it. Unlike what we see in Ireland, where now they want to fine people $2,500. You see what I'm saying with this, Producer Anderson, though? You see where I'm coming from?
Just like the texter asks, it's like, is government going to have to step in and do something? Or, like, should they not have? Like, it's almost, we should have that burden of responsibility on us as citizens, and it shouldn't have to be a, like, controlling factor to it. I totally agree.
I mean, Producer Anderson, let's say I stroll into your apartment, and I'm not wearing a mask, and you and all your roommates are wearing masks.
I say, get
out.
And
then you say, yeah, exactly.
You can leave.
And then because I want to be there with the group, I say, I want to hang out and I want to play Xbox. I want to play Super Smash Bros. So then I put on the mask, and then I get to have fun with everybody. Wait, what?
Do you think I'm in high school playing Super Smash every day, all day?
Well, I mean, like, all of what, 15 years old, Producer Anderson?
Yeah, that's exactly
my
age.
Xbox.
That is exactly my age.
You hang out, you play Super Smash Brothers, you play Xbox.
As much as I give you flack for that, that actually sounds super fun. I'm going to be completely honest. I could do that all day. So maybe you're right in saying that, honestly. I'm just going to shut up now.
Coming up on Cairo Nights, we are going to be talking about the biggest news story today. Kamala Harris has been chosen as a VP. We're going to get into that heavy. We are going to get into that for the full segment. So stick around. 98973, by the way, state roofing text line. You want to send in a text during the break. You're listening to Cairo Nights. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.